A case report on Shewanella alga as emerging infection in India. Two cases are reported here. Introduction. In 1985, Mattoni and Colville proposed the new genus Shewanella, which is composed of three species, S. putrefaciens, S. hanidae and S. benthica. Currently, there are at least 22 species in genus Shewanella, most of them being associated with aquatic and marine habitats. In 1990, Simudu et al. Proposed the name S. alga for a tetrodotoxin-producing isolate recovered from red algae. Although there are reports of isolation of S. putrefaciens from human clinical specimens, it is an uncommon cause of human disease and isolates from clinical specimens usually indicate colonization. Very few reports, on the other hand, are available so far about the isolation of S. alga from the human clinical samples, which has been reported as a predominant human pathogen within the genus. In India, there is only one report of the isolation of S. putrefaciens in 1998, and there is no report so far of S. alga from clinical samples in our knowledge. We are reporting two cases where S. alga was isolated, one from peritoneal collection in a case of post-operative peritonitis and the other from the sputum of a patient with chronic obstructive pulmonary disease with acute exacerbation. Case 1. A 41-year-old male, cook by profession, non-diabetic and non-hypertensive, presented with vomiting and acute abdominal pain not related with food intake with distension. He did not pass any flatus or stool for the past 2 days. On physical examination, the patient had central distension, guarding rigidity around umbilicus and diffuse abdominal tenderness. Exploratory laparotomy revealed subacute intestinal obstruction. The patient was having high fever and tenderness along the suture line on the third post-operative day, and hematological investigation revealed white blood cell, that is WBC count, of 15.3 × 10⁻⁹ per liter, hemoglobin 10.1 gram per deciliter and ESR 30 mm, the normal being 0 to 10 mm. There was a collection of free fluid in right iliac fossa on CT scan, which was aspirated twice, 3 days apart, and sent for microbiological culture. Blood was also sent for culture. Case 2. A 75-year-old male, farmer by occupation, presented with dyspnea on exertion for last 1 year. There was an acute exacerbation of cough along with copious production of thick sputum, chest pain and fever for the past 1 week. The patient was neither hypertensive nor diabetic. On auscultation, basal crepes were noticed. Chest x-ray showed a segmental infiltrate in right lower lobe close to diaphragm, which was consistent with pneumonia. Hematological investigation revealed WBC count of 12 × 10⁹ per liter, hemoglobin level was 12 grams per DL and ESR was 42 mm. ECG showed type 1 heart block. Sputum was sent twice for microbiological culture. The samples, that is sputum and peritoneal fluid, showed plenty of pus cells and gram-negative rods on gram staining. The samples were inoculated onto sheep blood agar and McConkey agar. This was incubated at 37 degrees Celsius in 5% CO2 atmosphere. Another sheep blood agar was also incubated anaerobically for peritoneal fluid at 37 degrees Celsius, but there was no growth after 48 hours. Fungal and mycobacterial cultures of the sample showed no growth. Blood from the first patient was sterile. Pure growth of small, brown, moist, non-lactose fermenting colonies was observed on McConkey agar plate, approximately 10⁵ CFU per plate on the second day, which exhibited beta hemolysis with tan to brown pigment on the sheep blood agar, table oblique figure 1. The gram-negative bacilli were motile, oxidase-positive, ornithine decarboxylase and gelatin hydrolysis positive and grew readily on TSI with heavy blackening of stabbed butt due to H2S production. The bacteria were identified as S. alga since both organisms showed the growth in 6.5% NaCl and 42 degrees Celsius and were beta hemolytic on BA. Both the isolates were sensitive to aminoglycosides, quinolones and cephalosporins but showed tolerance to penicillin as tested by Kirby-Boer method. The first patient was started empirically with cefoperazone sulbactam and the second patient with third generation cephalosporin. Both patients were switched to oral cephalosporins after the antibiotic sensitivity report, which improved the clinical and radiological outcome on follow-up. The discussion. Although Pseudomonas aeruginosa is the most common non-fermenter isolated from clinical specimen, Schwannella species has recently attracted the attention of the clinical bacteriologists. Recognition of the organism has long been hampered as the isolation of Schwannella species has long been considered merely colonization rather than active infective agent. More reports are coming in favor of S. putrefaciens as confirmed by API systems, which however is unable to differentiate S. algae from S. putrefaciens. Our idea to cite these two case reports is to derive more attention for speciation of Schwannella biochemically. This is also imperative because due to immunocompromisation, even rare organisms can cause infection. Moreover, Kim et al. Reported evolution of carbapenem resistance in S. alga in recent past. So carrying out the antibiogram is equally important. Antibiotic sensitivity pattern on both the occasions showed that these were sensitive strains, although tolerance to penicillin was observed. Drugs against Pseudomonas species, most commonly reported non-fermenter in clinical specimens, are mostly parenteral and relatively costly in comparison to those effective against Schwannella, such as ampicillin, amoxicillin, cotrimaxazolol, first and second generation cephalosporins, and doxycillin. De-escalation of higher antibiotics is also essential if Schwannella is confirmed as a causative agent, since they might give rise to resistance of the organism. The isolation of S. alga from the above two cases strengthens the assumption that the organism should be regarded as a potential emerging pathogen which is sensitive so far to most of the first and second line drugs in this part of the world. Utmost microbiological vigilance to diagnose the unusual pathogen will facilitate the institution of treatment at the earliest, thereby getting satisfactory clinical response.